Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date's August 11, 2022. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Remember prayer that. And folks, please, if you can, text me first because of all the robocalls. You can find updates for the breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on internationally. It's on some independent FM stations, four different MP3 streams, Twitch, Rumble, PhoneBridge, and we're picked up by every podcaster out there that I can think of. Anyway, on another note, let's thank our listener base, places like Melbourne, Australia, Salerno, Italy, Bradford, United Kingdom, and, of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Fresno, California, Shreveport, Louisiana, and Hutchinson, Kansas. You're back being the largest group of listeners, at least when the programs go to the podcast later at night. Live radio, I have no idea how many people are listening, but I know it's a lot. By the way, folks, get a text. Let me know what city you're hailing from. And tonight is a good program because why? Tonight we're going to be having a special guest. Of course, he's always special. Anyway, prayer. Dear Heavenly, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to the will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So, Father Yahweh and your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, as I say, this is one of your most favorite guests, as it is mine. And he always seems to come on. I always say, way comes on when things are happening, but we live in an age where things are always happening. But anyway, we're talking about Pastor Carl Gallup. He's a best-selling author. He's been a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host that's been heard nationally and internationally and still is. He's on TV and he's a radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's the founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and he's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written 12 books, and he's on another one, I know. The Rabbi That Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, God to Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, Masquerade, that one, Masquerade predicted what happened with COVID, The Summoning, and his new, and he has a book also, Glimpses of Glory, but really, I start to say that's his newest book, he's got something else coming up. Anyway, how are you, Carl? Are you with me?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. Thanks for having me back on, my brother.
Oh, I'm always happy to have you on. Like I say, you're one of my most favorite guests, and a lot of people was it Carl's week, you know. So, amen. Always happy to have you on, and you always have great insight into the situations that are going on. And so, yeah. Anyway, thanks for being on, brother.
No, it's my pleasure, man. I always look forward. Unless something really crazy is happening, every time you call, I'm here.
Yeah, amen. And you have been for many years. And speaking of crazy going on, can you believe they actually raided Trump's compound, Mar-a-Lago, his resort?
I can think of at least five others they should have raided first.
A bunch more.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
we could talk for 2 hours on how many different people they should have raided.
Oh, my gosh. When you think about the known thugs and the highly, highly suspected criminals in our upper echelon of government offices, to raid Trump is a bit suspicious, particularly given the fact that he's so highly rated in the polls right now. Everybody he endorses, not everybody, but almost everybody he endorses wins their races. The national sentiment about gas prices through the roof, the borders open, you know, just the economy faltering, supply chains in a mess, everything going on, Ukraine and Russia and China breathing down our necks and all of that. And people are looking to Trump or somebody like him, and it sounds like he's going to run. And lo and behold, I mean, we've had monkeypox. We've got to close the nation down. We've had, oh, there's another Chinese virus that we've discovered. Just a few days ago they said that. And we're testing, and we may have to shut. I mean, it's so transparent what's happening. We're in a very important world-changing midterm election coming up, and it's like they're trying to pull out all the stops to see if they can't somehow influence or change what is inevitable, if it's a fair election at all, that the Republicans are going to walk all over them, and they are just losing their minds. And again, if in fact Trump really was, hoodwinked in the last election, and it was stolen from him, which so many people believe. And listen, you can mark me up in that column too. I mean, it could prove out that it wasn't stolen, but I, brother, everything I've seen, I just can't believe it. So when you consider what they purportedly did then in 2020, and I mean, that was pulling out all the stops if they really did what we all believe they did. And then I think they thought they had him. I think they thought he would go away with his tail between his legs, or his supporters would lose heart. They would lose interest. But instead his support has grown and grown and grown. And it's not so much a support for Donald Trump, the man, I guess. I mean, some people are screaming at me right now saying, yes, it is. Yes, it is. But in my heart, I don't put my hope and my trust and my faith in a person. But let's just be honest. While we're in this physical world, people run the governments. And so we have to be engaged. We have to be involved. And so here's a guy that had 4 years. He proved that he would do almost everything he said he would do. And then they stole the election from him, it surely appears to all of us. Now, right before this midterm election, they raid his home. And, man, the scurrying around, Pastor Dan. I mean, Merrick Garland came out today and said, well, you know, we were looking for other ways, and we didn't really want to do it, but I did approve it. And, I mean, he's just all over the map. People are calling him a lunatic and an idiot. People inside the DOJ, we've had a couple of DOJ officials come out and say, you know, this is going to backfire on the FBI and the DOJ. Biden is claiming he knows nothing about it. How can that be? How can it be that the sitting president, who hates the guy that's getting ready to run against him, doesn't know anything about raiding his home, a first in American history? And he knows nothing about it. I mean, it's highly possible he knows, and then he. but it's just the chicanery, the duplicity is through the roof on this. And so I don't know. You know, I'm getting a million questions today. Do you think it's this? Do you think it's that? Do you think Trump set him up? Do you think they're planting evidence? And I keep saying to people, I don't know till we know, until somebody steps forward and says, here's what happened, and then we begin to tear that apart and examine that evidence. Because right now it's just pure speculation. But the bottom line is you've got officials like Biden saying, I didn't know anything about it. And then you've got Merrick Garland saying, okay, well, I knew, but I really didn't like it, but I went ahead and signed it anyway. And then you've got a couple of DOJ officials, inside officials, who actually worked there. I believe I'm remembering those articles correctly. And these are from, like, Fox and Breitbart and New York Post and these places. And they're saying, oh, man, this is going to backfire. This just wasn't done correctly. So I don't know, brother. This thing stinks to high heaven. It's going to be very interesting to watch unfold. But I think the timing of it is exactly what they intended.
Yeah, amen. A couple of things. The big thing that's going on, underlying, of course, this is a battle between good and evil. And the bigger picture I'm trying to get people to look at is, it is such a battle that this election, this midterm election, and correct me if I'm wrong, Carl, if it goes to the left, so to speak, stays status quo as it is, then I don't think there's any hope at all for 24. But there's no hope for the world if we don't correct this in this next election. And so we're seeing a huge spiritual battle because we're seeing utmost, you know, good and evil. I don't know how we could recover from a lost election this year, which I believe that will, the only thing that really determines it, we got ourselves in this position by the country of non-repentance. And so we need to turn to repentance for that. Having said all that, yeah, I think they really did blunder. I think they're desperate because they know that if Trump's just names on the ballot, he wins automatically. Everything says it. And, you know, so they're just deathly afraid of him, let alone. Here's something I wanted to ask you about. Did you know that the Supreme Court finally decided to look at a voting issue? And they're going to be looking at it after they come back from their break. I don't know when the break's over with. But what it's going to decide is if the governors and people in office that can change the election laws in any states, or it has to be done by the legislator. If it has to be done by the legislative branch, then that meant 2024 was basically proven to be an illegal election. Back to you.
Yeah, you mean 2020 election, correct?
Yeah, 2020. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. It's hard to keep track of everything. I mean, we just get like information, like a fire hose in the mouth, you know,
yeah,
every day. Yeah. And mine goes out my ears and through my brains. And it's hard for me to remember all this stuff. But no, I do remember reading something about that and thinking, okay, this is going to be very interesting. And yeah, I don't know if that would apply retroactively. I mean, I guess it would if they determined what they did was illegal, but maybe they will not let it. I mean, sometimes they can do that and just to keep from dividing the nation. So it's going to be interesting to see. It would be good if they would make a ruling on that in favor of constitutional sanity. That would be good. So we'll see. They've been making constitutionally sane rulings lately. You know, the definition of marriage ruling, that needs to be changed because it's just like Roe v. Wade. You and I have talked about this at deep length on this, on your program, so I'm not going to rehash all of it, but bottom line, it's the very same argument for that. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that the federal government can define what marriage is outside of a man and a woman, which is the historical definition. And they even said that, as I've reported here before, 2 years before, that would be 2013, because on 2015 is when they ruled, they said that we can't determine marriage. If we do, it would be illegal. And 2 years later, they did it. So, I mean, that needs to come. So anyway, we'll see about this voting because that's important. But back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, if the midterms just go down, you know, the sink when we know it shouldn't in a fair election, so again, we divide the nation into, oh my gosh, we've been cheated again. I don't know, brother. I can't figure out, are the leftists, are they trying to push us towards some civil war? I'm not advocating a civil war.
Right.
I mean, I've been a civil war history buff for a long time, and brother, that was a horrendous, horrendous thing that we don't want to see again. And with today's weaponry, you know, oh my gosh. I mean, we don't want that. I promise you. I mean, other foreign nations will be on our soil before we fight each other for a week. I mean, they will be here because they'll take advantage of it. So I don't want it, but I'm saying is the left pushing that? I mean, it looks like it. It feels like it. It smells like it to me. On the other hand, if they've got any sense at all, since we seem to be so on to them about what happened in 2020 and what everything that's happened since, if they just pull off another shameless something that looks like a coup in an election, something criminal, my jaw will be on the ground. I can't imagine that they would even try that this time. But if they, but here's their problem. Here's their problem, and everybody knows it. If we overturn the House and the Senate with a strong Republican majority of relatively conservative Republicans, because there's always a rhino or two in there. I mean, this could spell their doom, and they know it. And then if Trump marches back in 2024, I mean, it's over with. I mean, Make America Great Again will be on steroids, and they hate him for that. The globalists hate him for that. And a lot of the globalists, by the way, are in Washington, D.C. They're also in other places in the world, but a lot of the globalist pushers are in Washington, D.C. So, brother, these next couple of years are going to be amazing. And see, this goes back to what God put on my heart. I told you and your audience, I happened to be on the Jim Baker Show. I do a lot of media, but I happened to be on the Jim Baker Show right after Trump went in office. And Jim Baker asked me, you know, live television, what my prophecy was. And again, you and I've talked. I never claimed to be a prophet. Say, yes, I'm a prophet. Let me tell you my prophecy. But what I told him was, I said, look, the Lord has just impressed upon my heart. It's good that he went in. I praise God. I supported him right here on your show, Jim, everywhere else. I'm begging people to get out and vote for him, especially over Hillary Clinton. You know, I mean, that, when you came down to that choice, it was a no-brainer. But I like Trump anyway. But I said, but here's what I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell your audience again. I said, God is going to use this man to expose the nasty, filthy underbelly of the deep state like we've never seen it before, number one, because Trump will do it. He's promised he will do it. God's going to do it. I smell it in the air. And number two, all of hell will come against him and anybody that supports him. Well, brother, both of those things happened. I mean, boom, boom, one, two, exactly like I said, and in that order. So here we are. This is a do-or-die thing for everybody. I mean, the left, they know that they're done if they don't go back in. The conservatives know that if they pull off another big lie and they're not held accountable to it, then America as we know it is done, unless there is some kind of hand of God movement or a civil war or something drastic like that. And again, I'm not calling for a civil war. Right. I'm going through the scenarios because, you know, the Civil War was fought over something about like this. And, you know, I mean, and by the way,
I got it, Carl.
Yeah.
Let me jump in just a second.
Amen.
Yeah, you were dead on with that. And with Trump, not only did it reveal the deep state and everything, right along with it, it was like you rip back to, for those that have biblical eyes to look, it was like all of a sudden evil was just straight out in the open. It was all revealed. Trump caused the great revealing, and you hit it dead on with it. That, absolutely. And I'm always poking you about being prophetic because I know, because well, there's so much over the years that we've talked about that has been nail on the head, nail on the head. You know, we talk about it, and a few months later, then boom, there it is. So that's been nail on the head. So I'm with you totally. They have got to be completely desperate because if we take these midterms and Trump comes roaring back in, they are done and facing, this time they're facing jail. You know, I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that. And so this is, it's going to be interesting the next couple of months to see what they might try to pull off to change this whole election scenario.
Right. Well, as you and your audience know, I spent a long time in Florida law enforcement with two different sheriff's offices, and one of them doing even criminal investigations and working closely with the chief criminal investigator. And so in other words, I just said all that to say that I've got a lot of experience in, you know, what we've been watching this week about serving warrants, getting warrants, what that requires, serving search warrants, and, you know, and you got to be specific. I mean, if it's just a regular person like me, if they go and get a search warrant and come to my house, there's quite a protocol that has to be held to before you can get a warrant. I mean, it's a violation of a Fifth Amendment rights to just come into our house and search it. And so there's quite a protocol that you have to go through. But to search the home of a former U.S. president, not only a former U.S. president, but one who more than likely is going to run again in 2 years against the man that defeated him, who hates his guts, and that man who now is saying he knows nothing about it, but that can't be. It can't be. There's no way that Biden doesn't know. That gets his FBI and DOJ involved in serving a warrant, raiding his home, and accusing him of carrying home top secret information. Hillary Clinton had it on her servers and then destroyed the evidence. I mean, she committed crime after crime after crime, and the head of the FBI at the time, James Comey, came on and gave a big speech to the world about, well, she didn't mean to do it, and if it's anybody else that does it, they're going to prison, but she didn't really mean it, and she meant no harm by it, so everything's fine. What? What?
Yeah.
That's what I said. I can think of 5 or 10 other people that needed to have their home searched before Donald Trump.
Well, Carl, we got to go to a break, and you're absolutely right. I could go on for a while. But we got to go to a break. So tell them where your website is. We'll go to break, come back, talk.
All right, it's really easy. CarlGallops.com, myname.com, Carl Gallops. Thank you, Brother Dan.
Okay, we'll be back shortly, folks.
Go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
What would you do if you had to tell a person the most important information in the world, but you knew they wouldn't believe you? Would you tell them? Well, most would. So what is the most important information in the world to all people, nations, and languages? The most important thing to do is to receive Jesus, but the most important thing not to do is don't take the mark of the beast, because those taking the mark of the beast do not get soul death, but are eternally tormented in hell. Revelation 14:11 says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, or whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." But how do you tell them? Give them the book, Miss the Mark. If they'll read this simple, thin, easy-to-read book, they will never take the mark of the beast. One for 20, but don't do that. We offer them in shrink-wrap sets of 10 to give away. One set of 10 for 30, two sets 45, four sets 70 at prophecyclub.com. Miss the mark at prophecyclub.com. Miss the mark at prophecyclub.com.
In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world.
We're back, folks. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we're going to get right back with Pastor Carl, but I just want to point out one thing to you really, really quick. You pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, but I also want you to pray about supporting Talk Radio, because we're out there trying to get it out to you. And so please, you know, airtime costs, we got to pay it. We're on the air because of your donations. That's why we're here, and we're here for you. Anyway, you can donate online, excuse me, over the phone, mail a check or money order, all those standard things, and you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Pastor Carl. Are you with me?
I am, Pastor Dan. Thanks for having me on tonight, you and your amazing audience. God bless you, man.
Yeah, amen. I'm going to finish up the first part of that real quick, and then I got some things to ask you about some book things here.
Okay.
Okay. Well, first, yeah, I totally agree with what you said about break. Hillary should have been raided. There's a list of people that should have been raided. They should have did something. But you see a two-tier justice system. You know, if you're conservative, it's one thing. I go godly and ungodly, but I might get a lot of flack from that. You know what I mean? But there's the point. If you're one way, you're on the side. I'm just going to say, if you're on the side of good, you get attacked. If not, then they just, almost a lawless nation in a sense on that side. Anyway, here we go. You wrote last week, we got into talking about a little bit about the rabbi who found Messiah because of the fact that you mentioned that you were going to do another, or you're doing another book with Zeb Porat. Well, okay, so there's two books there about the rabbi who found Messiah, and Zeb Porat's into that. Now we're talking about another book here, Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit. That's tied to it, and you are writing another book. So we got what, four books tied together? After I pick a name for each program, right, every week, and last week was the rabbi said Yeshua was, you know, Messiah. Okay. That program shot way up there. I think people want to know more about this situation with Zev and what's going on with you. You got four different books tied in there together. I'm going to throw it back to you.
Okay, well, thanks. That's a great way to ask it. I've never thought of it just like that, but you're absolutely right. So you've got The Rabbi That Found Messiah, which is the one I wrote by myself. Now, of course, the hand of the Lord was in it, et cetera, et cetera, but I didn't know Zev. I just knew the story and everything that I could find on the internet from reliable sources and a lot of background research, and I stumbled across a guy named Zev Porat, a former Orthodox Jew who, you know, became a believer in Yeshua and was witnessing to Jews in Israel, but also had deep connections to Rabbi Kaduri, this Billy Graham of the Jews, if you will, this renowned rabbi that when he died, there was 300,000 people at his funeral. They had shut Jerusalem down for a couple of days. The president of Israel gave the eulogy. I mean, this guy was huge and still is to this day. And I found out that Zev Porat in Israel, and there were some articles out there and some YouTube videos, was this guy that knew this guy personally, and his family was tied to him, and Zev knew some of the students of Kaduri. And so Kaduri had written a note and to be opened after his death, claiming that he had had a vision of Messiah, kind of like the Apostle Paul, you know, just he saw him, he said. He knows who he is and knows his name, and he was going to reveal the name in a note to be opened a year after he's dead. And so the note was opened. It was put on his website, but it was cryptically written so that it just looked like some sweet things said about a person who would be Messiah. So they put it up on the website, but then within a few weeks or months, it was decoded by some of his students that it turns out that he was secretly teaching them about this vision he had and the name of the real Messiah. They also knew that he was going to code the note, and they knew the key to it. And so they divulged it, and sure enough, right there on the website in front of the whole world was the name Yeshua or Yehoshua, you know, that Jesus is God's Savior, the Savior from God, Yehoshua and Yeshua. And so that just caused a firestorm. Well, I wrote that book, and in the midst of it, it's a long story, and I've told it before, so I'll just get right to the point. I met Zev Porat through all of that. He found out about the book. He read the book. He went crazy over it. He needed a book like that was outside of his own, you know, he could have written it, but it would look like he was self-serving. But to have some Gentile American Baptist preacher on the Gulf Coast in America write it and get it right, and Zev said that. I'm not bragging on myself, but he called me, and he said, "How did you know this stuff?" And I thought he was calling to cuss me out about it. You know, I mean, I didn't know he was pretty. He was pretty animated when he called me, so I thought, man, I must have really messed some stuff up. But he said, no. He said, were you here? And again, I thought he was accusing me, like, you weren't here. Why would you say this? But he said, it's like you were here. Everything you said is exactly how it happened, and this is right. He said, I never dreamed that a Gentile on the Gulf Coast in America would write this. So that's how we met, and we just hit it off, became good friends. Well, now it's some almost 10 years later, and he and I have ministered all over the world, all over TV, all over radio. We've been on tours of Israel together. We're still trying to do more, and then COVID hit, and we had buses already sold out. But we're not in the tour industry business. We're just trying to get people to see what's happening in these prophetic times. So shortly after that, I was picked up by Defender Publishing, and one of the things that Dr. Tom Horn, who's the CEO of that, asked me, he says, do you think now that you know Zev, you guys could write another book about this and give us an update? And I said, oh, my gosh, yes, because that story keeps unfolding, and more revelations come out and more evidence comes out. And Zev was excited. So we wrote the book called The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and the Identity of Messiah. And that has gone all over the world, and Jews are being saved, and it's just crazy. So in the meantime, I wrote Glimpses of Glory, the novel kind of story from the Garden of Eden all the way through to the book of Revelation. And at the same time, Zev was writing a book called Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit, and it's out there now. You can go to the website. You can read inside of it. You can order it online. You can order it in the United States from my website, because we are actually selling it for him, we sent two books to him, to Israel, the other day, of his own books, and it cost $149 to send them.
Wow.
Yeah, so he can't sell books to people in the United States from his website. Yeah. So he was panicking, like, what am I going to do? I mean, the only place people can get them is on Amazon. And we told him, said, look, we'll sell them for you. Every penny goes to you, Zev. And, right. You know, and he trusts us. We've been doing ministry together forever. And so that's, you can get it from us. But anyway, so we wrote about all of the updates and all of the other stuff that goes with it. And people are loving it because they're learning so much about it. But then he wrote The Chaldean Spirit, and that's a revelation of what Satan is doing specifically in Israel. And not the political scene. He touches very little on the politics. He's talking spiritual stuff, amazing revelations and amazing insider information. Well, I wrote the foreword to that book, and he asked me to help him with some of his English phrasing, because English is not his first language. But he can speak it well, and he can write it well. But, you know, there are nuances of words. So I helped him a little with that. But it's his book, his work, and I wrote the foreword to it. I read every page. It's amazing. But in the meantime, my new book coming out, and I can go ahead and tell your audience, this will be the first radio show that I have divulged the name of it, and it's called The Yeshua Protocol. And as a matter of fact, you can go to my website. I haven't advertised it hugely yet because it's not supposed to come out to this fall. But the cover's already done. The book's already in its final form of editing, and you can't read inside yet because we don't have that up yet until the book gets its final edit, but soon. But you can read the back cover. You can see what it's about. You can read some of the endorsements. Go to my website, carlgallus.com, and then carlgallus.com/protocol. And that's all O's, most of your people know, but P-R-O-T-O-C-O-L, protocol. And it's called The Yeshua Protocol, but you'll see the cover, you can read the back cover, you'll get a real good idea of what it's about. And the reason I'm saying all that is because Zev didn't write it with me, but throughout the book I refer to things that he says about the stuff I'm writing. And I got it from him personally. He wrote me emails or made phone calls, and I gave him the opportunity to read it all and to make corrections to make sure I quoted him correctly. And he loves it. In fact, he's going to endorse it, and which doesn't surprise me. But so he's all in that book, too, because of his firsthand knowledge of what's happening around the world. So, yeah, we're really tied together, and all of those books are basically tied together, even Glimpses of Glory, because while he's writing Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit, I discovered, I said, whoa, 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 what are you talking about? And he's talking, he's giving certain revelations of where Jesus was really born and where he was really crucified. And all of that was in my book, except I didn't go into the deep scholarly understanding of it. I just kind of said it in the telling of my story and had a few footnotes to show people that I wasn't making it up. But I was just blown away. I said, man, I said, so you're writing that book, I'm writing this one. They're two different kind of books altogether, yet yours is going deep into the proving of this stuff. So I asked him if I could read it. I did. I went crazy. And then he said, well, would you write the foreword? I said, I'd be glad to, man. This is amazing. So God's really involved in all of this, brother. And so from the Rabbi that Found Messiah, the Rabbi the Secret Message, Glimpses of Glory, Unmasking the Chaldean Spirit, and now the Yeshua Protocol. And he didn't know anything about that. I mean, I told him I was writing a new book, but he was busy, so, you know. But then one day I had to ask him some questions about some of the Hebrew stuff I was writing, and so we had a lengthy phone call. He said, man, this book sounds good. Can you send me some of the information? So I did, and he said, oh, my gosh. He said, I'll be glad to help you answer questions and back up some of this stuff you're saying. He said, this is amazing. This is going to rock people's world. And I said, well, I hope the Lord will use it that way. So you're right. All of those books kind of fit together. Oddly, it's not oddly, it's a God thing. But it's not like Zev and I sat down and planned this stuff out. Like I said, when I wrote the first book, I didn't even know the man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I've seen all this on excuse me. Yeah, I saw all this unfold, so to speak, and how they were, you know, tied together because I read all your books. Now, realistically, I have gotten his book. It was sent to me by the publisher. I just haven't read it yet. I'm really going to dive into it because I want to do it like in about a day or two at the most, when I've got time, maybe this weekend. But I've already pulled this up over here, the Yeshua Protocol, and naturally, they've already did a dynamite job on the cover. But this is going to be dynamite. What's really amazing is way back, you know, when, and we forgot to mention, there's also a movie that was involved with the Rabbi Who Found Messiah about it. So there's also a movie involved in all this.
Yeah, it was a documentary movie, an hour long. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is in it with me. I actually went to his home and to his church with the director and producer of it, and anyways, we just talked about that whole story and how it unfolded, and man, the guy that made the movie, he did a wonderful job. And people can get that at my website. Again, go to carlgauss.com, and when the page comes up, at the top of the page, you'll see a link called The Store. And that DVD is all the way at the bottom, so there's like 13 or 14 books there. Of course, we're selling Zev, so you'll see it too. And at the bottom, you'll see the DVD to The Rabbi That Found Messiah. That movie's stupendous.
Yeah,
I mean, the book's like 300 pages, but if you want to know in an hour or less what the whole story is about, I mean, that's good. But again, the new book gives all the new information because even the DVD and the first book kind of ended, it left you hanging just a little bit, even though I was very clear that, yes, that's what the note said, and we proved it. We proved it.
Yeah,
but still, there were all kind of questions people were asking. But now all of those questions have been answered, and it is an amazing story. It's supernatural. It's prophetic.
Yeah, I'm actually walking on a cloud right now thinking about all this. I can't wait to... Carl, I can't wait to read this book. I'm going to kind of pull on your string. You know, I pulled this the website up for it, and I'm looking at this diagram that you have, and it's from the menorah, and it's got some things on it. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that? Give the people a tease so we can get them over there?
Listen, it is a teaser. It's just a teeny, teeny, teeny bit of what's in this book. That's one illustration. There are 45 other illustrations like it that are even better and even deeper. And plus more. I mean, this is the most illustrated book I've ever done. It's very visual, but I do a lot of, you know how I wrote Glimpses of Glory? It opens with about 10 chapters like that and closes with about 10 chapters like that. So there's a lot of that in it. Plus there's a lot of my teaching style in it. Plus there's 45 illustrations. So on this website, I've got the first verse of the Bible. Now some of this stuff your audience might have heard, but to see it with your eyes is
right.
Astounding. And besides, what I've got on that website is just a little bit of what I expose in the book. And all of the other scriptures, brother, listen, let me just tell you what's on this page. And then if I have time, I'll tell them about several other scriptures that it's going to blow them away when I tell them this. But anyway, so it's the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, I show it in Hebrew. They're exactly seven letters. Right in the middle, there's three letters, seven words. There's three words, and then right in the middle is a little short word, an aleph and a tau. Well, we know what that is. Jesus said, I am the aleph and the tau, or the alpha and the omega in Greek, but aleph, tau in Hebrew. God calls himself the first and the last, meaning he is the aleph and the tau. He does it two or three times in the Old Testament. So here is this name. Now, it's actually a grammatical pointer. There are some 11,000 uses of it, which means it's found about 8 or 9, 10 times on every page of the Bible in one form or another, every page of the Old Testament. But even language experts, even renowned, and my book shows this, they say, okay, it's a Hebrew way of pointing the noun to the verb or the object to the verb. In other words, this one says, in the beginning – Elohim created, and then Aleph Tau, the heavens and the earth. All right, so it's showing that Elohim, Aleph Tau, is the object of what he, you know, who created the heavens and the earth. Okay, so in Genesis 1:1, that's clear. But there are so many other places in the Bible where it doesn't seem to point to anything, but yet there's this supernatural presence. So here's Genesis 1:1. With God's name and Jesus, who's the same thing, the Word that became flesh, his name right in the middle, right in the middle. And and it says Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Well, actually, it says Elohim, who is the Alpha and the Omega in Greek, created the heavens and the earth, who's the Aleph and the Tau. Well, Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the Aleph and the Tau. And the New Testament says that over and over. So it's basically saying God, who is Jesus, the Word, who became flesh, created the heavens and the earth. Now, this is in Genesis 1. This is not just me making it up. But when you – and you see I've got a diagram. I put a square around that middle letter – I mean that middle word, Aleph Tau, and it's pronounced eighth. And then what happens is on either side of it are six words. And then there's one word in the middle. Well, you go to Revelation 1:1, and when Jesus reveals himself to John – he says he was standing in the middle of the seven lampstands. So what you have in Genesis 1:1 is this beautiful picture of a seven-channeled lampstand, a menorah, the middle one being the most focal point of it. And in Genesis, it's Aleph Tau, who is God or Jesus, three on each side, seven, and I draw the menorah. I branch it all out and show you. Then in the Paleo-Hebrew letters that the Bible was originally written in, where it says Aleph Tau, the Tau in the Paleo-Hebrew looked like a cross. It's a little slanted. People say, oh, that's an X. No, it's not. No, it's not. I've got diagrams to show you. It's in the shape of a cross.
I see.
And one of the arms is just a lot shorter than the other one, but it's leaning over a little bit. The Paleo-Hebrew looked that way. Well, in Genesis 1:1, brother, there are three taws in those seven words, and they're in a visually, systematic place, and the middle one is connected to Yeshua, the Aleph Tau, so it's a picture of Golgotha. three crosses on the hill with Jesus in the middle, and here he is as the middle of the menorah standing in the midst, and he's the Word that became flesh. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the Aleph, and that's just in Genesis 1-1, brother. And that's only a little bit. I just put two things of about four or five things like this that not only did I find, but others have found some of it, and some of it I found, and Zeb and I found. But it's all, we didn't make this stuff up, and we're not stretching anything. It's just right there in the Hebrew. It's right there before your eyes, and you got to deal with it. I mean, this Word of God is alive. His name is from Genesis 1 to the last verse of Revelation. His name is exalted. His name is found in biology. It's found in geography. It's found in archaeological discoveries. It's found in the scriptures. And I just go throughout the Bible and the earth and show you how the name of Jesus keeps popping up. And the other thing I do, brother, watch this. I go to, you know, the three crucifixions in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
There's Zechariah 12. And on that day you will look upon me, whom you have pierced. There's Psalm 22. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. And all three of those talk about the piercing and the crucifixion. Brother, I did an analysis on all of those where it talks about the piercing and the crucifixion. And guess what we find? Three crosses and an Aleph Tau right in the middle of them all. Brother, it's unbelievable. I tore the Bible up for months looking for this pattern, and it's not on every page and in every verse, but it is in the verses that talk about Jesus. It's unbelievable. That's why it's called the Yeshua Protocol. It's like God has a plan. He's got a protocol. He's got a method whereby in these last days he's revealing who is who Jesus is, what he did, that Bible is his word, and he's revealing it not only deep in his word like this, but in geographical places, in biological places, in submicroscopic places. Brother, it's unbelievable. And so I've been researching this for a couple of years, and I finally put it together, and the editor's crazy about it, and the publishers are crazy, Zev's crazy about it. It's unbelievable. I'm going to tell you something else Zev found while we were working on this one day. Do I have a second?
Yeah, you got a couple minutes.
Okay. So I had him in Psalm 22, verse 1, and I was just showing him. I think, I don't have it in front of me, but I think there's three crosses there, too. I can't remember, but I do know that there is an eis there, an Aleph Tau in the middle of it. And I said, oh, my gosh. And this is the verse he quoted. My God, why have you forsaken me? While I was on there, Zev said, oh, my gosh, Carl. He said, I'm looking at the verse in Hebrew. He says, it jumped out and slapped me in my face. In the word that says, why have you forsaken me, you have forsaken me, says in English, that's like three words. In Hebrew, it's one word that expresses that thought. He said, right in the middle of it is Yeshua in Hebrew. It's written there. And there's a couple letters on one side and a couple on the other that changes it to mean, why have you forsaken me? But the name of Jesus is right in the middle of that in the very first verse, which means the verse he quoted on the cross not only tied it to Psalm 22, and they have pierced my hands and my feet, they gamble for my clothing, they say he saved others, let him save himself. All of that is in Psalm 22, written 1,000 years before he uttered it. But he utters the first verse, and in that verse is his name, plus an Aleph Tau. I mean, brother,
I'm dying over here, Carl. I'm having a fit.
Well, I can't wait to get it. It's supposed to come out this fall.
Yeah, amen. Folks, I'm about to tears over this. There will be links where you can find this, folks. I'm going to also put the book right up on the webpage tonight before I quit doing my ministry work for the night. So, yeah, this is good. That's just fantastic, Carl. You can tell the Father's working on you. I mean, you outdo yourself every time. You know, you think, well, okay, you can't get much better than this. Glimpses of Glory was fantastic. In fact, I'm sending a text over to you tonight to find out how much a case costs because I'm giving them away. But anyway, Glimpses of Glory, just fantastic book. Fantastic book. A book that I want to give away with every Bible I give away. But this is just incredible. Just this little bit that you've told me and what I'm seeing here on this page, I'm just floored. You know, I'm at tears. I'm speechless, actually. Wow. I wish we were out of time.
Let me just say, the little bit that I've told you tonight doesn't even scratch the surface. I promise you. I'm not exaggerating. When you read it, you'll come back and we'll talk about it and you'll agree. It doesn't even scratch the surface.
Wow. Well, and it's so supernatural how all these books are tied together, you know.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even thinking about that till tonight. I thought, well, I want to talk to him about, you know, his newest book, which I didn't know it was this. But then I got to thinking about the books, and I was, well, they're all tied together. You know, these are all completely, you know, it's one work, actually. Anyway,
yeah.
All right, Carl, tell them where they can find you, and we'll talk again.
Okay, yeah, CarlGallops.com, CarlGallops.com. And while you're there, folks, just put CarlGallops.com/protocol and click on the book cover that's where it says open the back cover or show the back cover and read all of that, read the front, and read the endorsements that are coming in. We'll look at the diagram, and I think you'll be blown away by it.
Well, you know what? Also, folks, if you just go to the store, it's the first book listed. It says Yeshua Protocol, and you can click on it right there. You don't have to do all the typing. Go to his website. Go to the store. He's got all his books, and Yeshua Protocol is on the top. You can get to the website. Anyway, Carl, I love you to death, brother. I got to go. Goodbye,
I know.
And shalom. Bye-bye.
See you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, I'll send links. Anyway, pray about supporting Talk Radio. We really do need your help. Pray about a donation tonight. You can donate online, over the phone, you know, call, check, money order, all that, prophecyhour.com. Anyway, remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. And again, pray about support and talk radio. Pray about a donation tonight. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.